from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Wednesday, January 25th. Here are today's headlines.
The Attorney General's office is urging Vermont lawmakers to prohibit police from using deception in interrogations with alleged juvenile offenders. Julio Thompson leads up the Civil Rights Division at the Attorney General's office. He told Senate lawmakers on Tuesday that using false information with young people can lead to false confessions.
There's a substantial body of empirical evidence that show that juveniles are susceptible to making false statements in a custodial setting when questioned by an authority figure.
Proposed legislation would make it illegal for cops to use deception or psychological manipulation in interviews with juveniles. The Vermont Police Association says law enforcement has largely abandoned that practice already, but police say they're opposed to making it a crime.
On Monday, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a $100 million program intended to help organic dairy farms with marketing costs. Currently, their pay price can't match high feed, fuel, and fertilizer costs. While organic dairy advocates say they appreciate the USDA's efforts, it's not going to be enough to save the farms they predict will close this spring. Maddie Kempner is the policy director for the Northeast Organic Farming Association of Vermont.
We are looking at potentially losing another 30 just in the first half of this year if something doesn't give.
Kempner said her organization is asking the state to provide emergency relief funds to organic dairy farmers and is even considering setting up a public crowdfunding campaign.
Vermont's unemployment rate inched up last month, but it remains at a historically low level, according to the state labor department. The unemployment rate was 2.6% in December, an increase of a tenth of a percentage point. It's the third month in a row that the rate has gone up, but the number of people without work is still relatively low. It's about the same level as it was in the 2 years leading up to the pandemic. The total number of people working or seeking a job is still much lower than it was pre-pandemic, but the size of the state's labor force did increase a bit in December. Over 400 more people were working last month, while over 500 more people were unemployed.
Coming up, what's being done to make sure all students feel safe playing high school sports? More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Earlier this month, the Middlebury Union High School girls basketball team refused to play Enosburg Falls High School, citing an Instagram post with what they described as racist attacks from Enosburg spectators. Last week, three student athletes and the coach of the Middlebury basketball team spoke to Vermont Edition about their decision to skip the game. Here's Katie Pittner, a senior on the team.
It seemed like they weren't really doing a lot within their schools to make amends for what happened and kind of educate their students and change things. They seemed to be very focused on the specific individuals rather than looking at the school as a whole.
Meanwhile, the superintendent of the district that includes Enosburg Falls confirmed that racist incidents did occur and that the district is committed to creating a safe environment. There have been several incidents like this in the past few years, where racist or sexist comments from spectators of high school sports led to the cancellation of games. So what's being done to address this issue? For more, our colleague Mitch Wortlieb spoke with Jay Nichols, the executive director of the Vermont Principals Association, which supervises high school sports in the state.
You and I spoke about this, I think, over a year ago, actually, with the Winooski incident, and there have been new protocols put in place. How specifically are coaches and officials equipped to handle things like racist comments and behavior at sporting events?
Well, first of all, there's a pregame statement that's to be read at every event or put on rosters as parents come in. Some people have posted it on signage in their buildings. And it talks about expectations, possible interventions, and restrictions that are applicable to all schools and teams. Additionally, all coaches and officials have to complete an NFHS, that's the National Federation of High Schools, implicit bias course. We require that. We also have the reporting form that is open and active year-round where anybody can report anything to us. And there's been action taken against individuals. I mean, at least one coach has lost their job over behavior that was reported on that site. And there have been disciplinary sanctions handed down to people, students and teams. And there's been lots of training. For the adults, you know, it's different. If you don't have a right to come to a game. If you're going to hurt the learning environment of the kids, and you need to be removed, you know, we have no problem removing you. We have no problem banning you from events. And typically it's not apparent. In fact, most of the cases that we're talking about are people that either used to go to the school, or in a couple of cases, students that are people that were former students that moved back into an area that are young adults now and are making real stupid choices, and everybody's seeing the consequences of those choices.
This incident, the most recent one, did not happen at a game itself. It happened because there was an Instagram video with racist content that was posted. So I'm wondering if the VPA has to do more in expanding its rules and protocol over what happens off the court, as well as in the stands during a game, for example.
Well, that's a good question. And the truth is that schools have a limited ability to discipline students for their out-of-school conduct. But what they can do, because the person involved was a student athlete, they can take action against them as a student athlete. And things that can include suspension of games, captainships, removal from a team. There's lots of different things they can take. So in this particular case, they've taken action against the student. They've provided educational components to the student. And as far as we're concerned, you know, the situation has been dealt with appropriately. The student made a mistake, and it's time that we move on from that mistake. And teams that don't play, you know, going forward, essentially are forfeiting the game.
What do you think about the Middlebury High School girls basketball team decision not to play Enosburg Falls High School? Do you support that decision?
Well, in this particular case, Middlebury and Enosburg weren't able to come to a resolution. And the Middlebury perspective was they came to a resolution they thought might work, but came to it too late. And they were at that point, their players were not feeling heard. And I'm not saying they weren't heard. I think Enosburg is doing the best they can with it too. And because of that, I had conversations with officials from both school districts, and we decided that if the teams weren't going to play, that the most appropriate action for that game would be to have it be no game. But the Middlebury harm happened at a Enosburg event was verified. As a result of that, Middlebury kids felt that they were being targeted and the decision not to play, and we support that.
I am wondering, given that it is almost impossible to change people's behaviors, you can only hope that they'll listen to a conversation and do and be better. Should the VPA, though, be doing more to enlarge this conversation, to have these conversations more often, more intensely, to let people know that this kind of behavior, whether it's in the stands or on social media, is simply not acceptable in Vermont high school sports?
Well, I think it's a message that we have to keep putting out there. And I think the way we do that is through the local schools. Sometimes people talk about the VPA and they think of the VPA as this big organization. We have 5 employees for the whole state of Vermont. We're a member-driven organization. So it's really the athletic directors, the school principals, the superintendents, the coaches, and the fans themselves that have to do a lot of this work. However, I do want to disagree with one thing you said. You said it's not possible to change behavior. I think that's not true. I think the research shows us it is possible to change behavior. What's not possible is to change beliefs. If you want to go to a basketball game, and you've got some beliefs that we don't agree with, whatever they might be, that's fine. Just keep your, you know, be quiet about it and just cheer the kids on appropriately. What we are telling you is your behavior is not going to be tolerated. If it's racist, sexist, singles out an individual player or coach or official and crosses that line. And when you do that, you know, we've got several parents we've banned for the whole year this year. And we have no problem supporting schools in doing that.
That was Jay Nichols of the Vermont Principals Association speaking to our colleague Mitch Wortlieb.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Elodie Reed, and Karen Anderson.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.